This is Jan Swift, and you're listening to Discover Lafayette, a podcast dedicated to the people and rich culture of Lafayette, the gateway to South Louisiana. Discover Lafayette is recorded in the offices of Raider Solutions, a technology company located in the Light Center in Lafayette. Raider offers a complete fleet of IT solutions for businesses of all sizes. Raider's motto is, you just want it to work. We understand. If you're wondering if Raider can help your business, please visit RaiderSolutions.com. Today's guest is Red Larail. Red, I want to welcome you to Discover Lafayette, and I've been looking forward to talking about your life in helping all of us be in better shape. And just one little point, I joined your club in 1983 and when I moved here, and I've been a member ever since, and I'm grateful for what you offer to the community. So let's start with your story. Where can we begin?
At the beginning.
All right.
As a kid, I was inspired by many people. Number one, my seventh grade school teacher was a submarine sailor, and he also lifted weights. So he took an interest in me, and I was working out at that time. Mm-hmm. And he had a son my age. I'd go to his house. I'd work out. I lived in a small community, so it was easy to get around on my bicycle. And he was one of my real inspirations. Because of him, I went in the military. I went in the Navy. I went to submarine school. I was on a submarine. I didn't realize how bad some things could be on a submarine, mm-hmm. but I went because of his inspiration. Yeah.
How did people work out then? Was it free weights, or did you have any type of machines available?
Machines were not really available, mm-hmm. but a lot of people built stuff. I mean, a lot of the guys in the gym business at that time were building equipment for themselves. A lot of it was manufactured out of wood. But most of it was barbells and dumbbells, no
right.
question about it. It's not any different today. Mm-hmm. The gym business has gone back to that in a way, with CrossFit gyms and things
right.
of that nature. That didn't exist back then. Just workout areas existed.
Right.
And you mentioned Joe Gohl a while ago when we were just talking. And Joe Gohl opened up his first health club in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. In 1952 or 3, don't quite remember that, but Joe Gohl opened it called Ajax Gym, and he had probably one of the best gyms in the United States, if not the world, at that time. Prior to that, in New Orleans, anybody who had an Olympic set, that was a barbell that rotated around,
right.
and they used in Olympic Games, and they were all built by Bob Hoffman out of York, Pennsylvania. Well, Joe Gohl had about four of them. The New Orleans Athletic Club, which was the biggest thing in New Orleans, and the YMCA, mm-hmm. each had one at that time. So things have changed tremendously since then.
Right. When did you start competing in competitions?
I competed in my first Mr. New Orleans contest when I was 14 years old.
Okay.
And Dr. Azar, locally
yes.
here,
uh-huh.
his cousin won the contest. He was from Chicago and a student at Tulane University at that time mm-hmm. in med school.
So you really focused on this from a young age, the desire to, I guess, be the best at what you could be.
Oh, you want to know the way I did it?
Yes.
I started putting pictures of Mr. America on my wall when I was 7 years old. And I would tell everybody who came to my house, I'm going to be that one day.
Mm-hmm.
And 1 year, my picture went on that wall. Never forgot that. Anything I ever wanted in life, I put a picture on the wall and dare it not to show up. And in 70 years, 60 years, something like that, mm-hmm. I have never failed.
I had the opportunity to hear you speak at an Upper Lafayette Economic Development meeting, and that is what stayed with me, that when you want something, you not only think about it, but you envision it. And the pictures have never let you down, as you said.
Not
so,
yet.
Yeah.
I'm sure it'll happen one day.
Well, I don't know about that. But, I mean, did your family, were they supportive? Or was this just something you did as a hobby to them?
Well, my parents are very supportive. Did they think I was going to win the Mr. America?
No.
and probably I really didn't think I was mm-hmm. going to win. But, you know, one day it did happen. And, of course, my mom and dad were the first people I called.
Mm-hmm.
I was in Cleveland, Ohio. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning by the time the contest was ended. And I was a pretty excited kid.
Yeah. So you grew up in New Orleans, but ended up here in Lafayette in the early 60s. What brought that about?
Well, Mike Stansberry and I met Mike when I competed in my first Mr. New Orleans contest. Mm-hmm. I was a 14-year-old kid. And Mike brought a bodybuilder from Abbeville. The name was Refugee Hebert. That wasn't his real name. It was Andrew Hebert. But there's a story behind the refugee. And he had a tremendous set of arms. He was a great looking guy. And I competed in there, and he competed, and I kind of met him then. And then when I came home after the military service, and this would have been in 1959, mm-hmm. to compete in the Mr. America, and I didn't win that year, but I met Mike at a weightlifting contest in Baton Rouge, and he said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm in the military now, but I'll be out September 9th. And he said, "You need a job?" I said, "Sure." Yeah. So I ended up coming to work for Mike's gym in Lafayette.
What was Lafayette like then?
Well, I can tell you how I feel about Lafayette.
Okay.
The day I landed here was on Trans-Texas Airlines, and I didn't realize that day when I stepped on Lafayette ground, I stepped off in heaven.
Oh, right.
Oh, it's the greatest place in the world.
Yeah.
People who live here, when they move away because they're all excited, they're going to Dallas, they're going here, and the next exciting day in their life, when they move back,
yeah.
It's just a great place to live.
Great place for families.
Yes, and you don't have to drive too far from here to realize how great this place mm-hmm. is. You can go a little north, you can go a little east, you can go a little west. Nothing like Lafayette. The area. I mean, you go...
Right, South Louisiana is great.
South Louisiana, yeah, no question about it.
So you moved here, and that was the year that you won the contest?
Am I hearing? The next year I won.
The next year, 1960.
And then Mike's gym was very famous, mainly because they had... UL had a weightlifting team.
Yeah, I've heard that story.
And they all trained at Mike's gym.
Okay.
Well, they all graduated that year.
Uh-huh.
So that was sort of the end of Mike's gym.
Yeah.
And then, so he closed that summer.
Oh.
And so that summer is when I competed in Mr. America. That was 1960, my second time.
And that was the golden time for you.
That was the year I won.
Yeah. So you decided to stay in Lafayette. Loved it, and opened up a small gym, is that correct?
Very small.
Uh-huh.
And my wife-to-be found a building, and so we rented that space, and I was at home, I was building equipment
mm-hmm.
to put in the gym that we didn't have any place to put it.
Right.
I mean, I had no money, and so I borrowed a couple $100 to pay rent on a building, and that's how I started.
So that was out on Johnston, way out, where Gilbo Road is.
That was really far out. Then that was far out.
Right.
Sure.
You stayed there a while.
Stayed there a year.
Uh huh.
And bought a piece of property, built a smaller building than actually I was in. But then that's how it started. The building's still there. We kind of wrapped around it about mm-hmm. 10 times. But it's still in the middle there somewhere.
Right.
Sometimes I don't recognize exactly where it was.
Mm-hmm. So you've raised your family here. I want to get into Reds and what you offer, but you fell in love with Lafayette, but your family's here too. Are all of them still here?
We're all stuck in Lafayette. And all my kids are in some kind
stuck.
Of business.
Mm-hmm.
Mark is with me. My daughter, Khaki, has boards. My son, Stanley, owns Corner Bar. And my youngest daughter is... sort of like in the psychology building mm-hmm. business.
Mm-hmm.
So she's quietly.
Right.
We're the ones that kind of known, but she's not.
Right.
She does a great job in a different, quiet way.
Right. Well, you're the face of Reds, obviously. And I see Mark when I'm there in the mornings. I mean, I have to say my husband and I are very dedicated members because not only do we work out there, but the cold plunge kind of saves us from ourselves when we overdo it or whatever. But you've built this... From what I read, and I don't know that it's accurate, but when you opened up, you thought, I want to improve this every month. You want to do something every month that would be an addition. Can you talk about that, your early dream
sure.
of the health
That's
club?
That's one of my little rules, make a change every month. Mm-hmm. And not only in your business life, but I believe in changing my personal life, everything around a little bit. But I try to make some change, not always for the better. but I keep trying to change.
Yeah. Well, if it doesn't work, you can just do something different next month.
So far, I've been pretty lucky that most stuff has worked for
right.
a period. For right. example, like racquetball. Racquetball was Boomtown, USA, and about 40 years ago, mm-hmm. 35, 40 years ago. And we put in a couple of racquetball courts. Actually, it wasn't racquetball. We built them as handball mm-hmm. courts. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, handball started drying up a little bit, and racquetball took over. And then at a high point, we had 12 courts. Not only did we have 12 courts, but you couldn't get a court. Like, we'd be booked next week this time, and I'm not talking about just from 9 to 11 or uh-huh. 8 to 10 at night. We were booked all day long. People would take off work to play racquetball.
Isn't that something? And I remember that. Now, it was Racquet Club back then.
Yeah,
it was Red Rails.
Health and Racquet.
Health
Club.
And Racquet, yeah.
But that's, that changed tremendously and fast.
Right.
Same time the oil bust about 30 years ago. Everything happened at one time. So that wasn't the greatest time on earth to be in the health club business.
For any of us, I know.
Or anybody in Lafayette, for sure.
Let me hold that thought, because I want to follow up on that about your success and longevity through the years. But I need to thank a couple of our sponsors. First of all, LUS Fiber, ranked in 2018 by Harvard University as number one in the nation for price savings. A trailblazer in community broadband services, LUS Fiber can serve your telephone, internet, and television needs. For more information, please visit lusfiber.com. I'd also like to thank Ben Berthelot and the Lafayette Convention and Visitors Commission for allowing us to get Discover Lafayette launched. With many upcoming events hitting the Lafayette market in 2018, we encourage you to visit LafayetteTravel.com to find out more about festivals, attractions, music scene, and award-winning restaurants. So, Red, thinking about the 70s and the boom time, I moved here in 83, and things were still pretty good. And then in a short time, they weren't so good, if I can say it in that way. And you have seen the ups and downs of our economy, and I would think that a racquet club, i.e., you know, health club membership, could be a disposable thing. What was it like when the economy crashed in the 80s?
Well, it's scary as hell, you know, but I still try to stick to my little rules. Number one is to make a change every month, and I did make changes. Sometimes it was backwards. I was taking racquetball courts out mm-hmm. faster than we put them in. But every time I tried to make some little change, it was kind of simple. I mean, I wasn't building a basketball gym or putting in racquetball courts, which is an expensive item. Mm-hmm. But we were making small changes, and we continued to do that. I mean, there's several things that have kept me in business. Number one is making a change every month. Number two is saying hello and goodbye to everybody
right.
walking in that building. And that has gotten so difficult to do.
With
people
walking
in now with headsets
yeah.
on, talking on phones. Those things didn't exist, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still a number two pencil and a yellow pad person. But I do listen to books on my phone. That's about the only thing I do with it.
Right.
Everything else is a yellow pad, number two pencil. But no, that was scary times, no question about it.
And, you know, thinking back about us, we kept our membership, and we used it. And there'd be times in our life where it was dormant. We'd pay our bills. You know, you probably could go back, and hopefully we paid monthly, you know, kept
up. I could check on it.
I know, and you probably will when we leave here. But we stayed with the membership, and as the seasons in our life changed, you know, children, pre-children, little people, growing up, you've been an integral part of our life. And I know you may not know it, but we're there just about every day, sometimes twice a day. We really use the club. Yeah, we come in late, too, after work to get back in the cold plunge. It helps at this point. But this is after 35 years of a very active adult. You know, we stay active, and that ebb and flows, too, with how good we feel. So.
Well, you know, I tried to stick to my little plan. My little plan was to have a club that people could afford to come mm-hmm. to. And I tried to make it a family facility. And that has changed tremendously in the health club business. If I was going to health club business right now, I'd go back like I was day one.
And how would that be?
Nothing. Just a workout area, no whirlpool, no steam room.
No cold plunge.
No cold plunge. definitely no swimming pools. Mm-hmm. No one wants that anymore. I was in Canada last week, and I meet with a group of health club operators, and we've been getting together for about 30 years, and we visit some clubs in Canada. I did not see one swimming pool, one steam room in any club.
What do they want? What are the trends today?
Well, the trends is you don't want all that stuff, and you don't want to... I'm talking about as a health club owner. I'm not talking about the member. I'm talking about the health club owner. Mm-hmm. They want no water, no kids in the building. They just want a place where they can let people work out, low-price memberships.
Right.
You know, you're looking at cost a lot to have pools and water and all that
oh,
stuff.
Oh, and the maintenance has got to
and
be
and kids.
A
I
lot.
Mean, you know, like,
yeah.
you have to hire a lot more people in the summer mm-hmm. when kids are there. I mean, I love kids. All my grandkids came there. Mm-hmm. I grew up in health clubs as a kid. So, I mean, I think it's the greatest place in the world to grow up. Do we have problems? Everybody has problems. There's problems in the health club. Kids have problems. But it all works out in the long run. It's a good place to grow up.
Right. It's a destination. I know, yeah. And probably even though it's a lot of maintenance, the water that you do offer, both indoor heated pools, yeah. regular pool for laps, you've got the outdoor pools, you've got, you know, the steams, the hot plunge, the cold plunge. It's a true melting pot of our community. Because when I walk in, I see people from all walks of life, and a lot of them have little people that may even be their grandkids, and they hang out by the pool. It's a destination.
Yeah. Well, I grew up in like New Orleans Athletic Club, which mm-hmm. has been there 135 years, and it's still there. It is that's the club I like the most, even better than mine. When I go there, that place has a soul, a serious soul. And I know it's health clubs don't have souls.
Well, maybe
but
they
to
do.
Me, they do. Uh-huh. And that's one that did. And there are places like that all over the country. I have friends who are most of them are dead now. But Leo Stern in San Diego, he has a little club that's been there 75 years, mm-hmm. still operating. He's gone. But the club's still there.
Is it small, or is it
Oh, it's big? Small. Nothing was big then, but the New Orleans Athletic Club is large.
Right. Do you think Reds has a soul when you talk about that?
I'd like to think it does, but I don't feel a soul as much as I do when I walk into the New Orleans Athletic Club. I would have to say that has a real soul. Mm-hmm. And it's in the French Quarters. My God, what a place to be,
right.
you know.
Right,
yeah, it's a, right. It's a great place.
Well, if I may ask about your day, I mean, rumor has it that you're up at 2:30 a.m. and opening the club by 3. That might be late for you. That might be something I'm, you know, not correct on. But you're there.
Man.
You're in and out during the day until evening. Would you talk about a typical day?
A typical day in my life?
Mm-hmm.
I normally wake up at 2. I'm at Red's about 2:30. I ride my bicycle there. I'll work out for about an hour and a half with weights and all. I jump on my bike, I ride my bike around town for an hour, and I have a little places I go.
Yeah.
And then I normally go home, shower, shave, eat breakfast, go to Mass at St. Mary's Church. Then I normally hustle to the airport, fly around. I have not done much of that in the last year and a half. I had a little accident, mm-hmm. broke a leg, so that kind of slowed me down. Didn't kill me, but slowed me down. And I'm trying to get back to all that again. I still do the workout. I still do the bike ride. I still do the church. The airplane stuff has dropped off tremendously.
Yeah, right. But you're a collector. Is that correct? Of not only high-wheel bicycles, but antique airplanes? Is that still
well,
accurate?
I don't know how much of a collector I am, but I do have a few high-wheel bikes.
Mm-hmm.
I've built 18 airplanes. When I say build, I mean I restored. They were all originally built in the 30s, and that's really my hobby. My mother taught me how to build model airplanes.
Oh, okay.
So I have not stopped doing that. There's not much difference between building a model and a real airplane, mm-hmm. other than you got to put your rear end in it.
Right, and get it up off
the
ground.
Yeah, the other one you could put a rubber band and fly it around mm-hmm. the house.
Now, does your wife go fly with you when you do fly or
no,
when you did?
No, my wife is not a flyer, but she is a motorcycle rider.
Oh, God.
And then we do ride motorcycles all over the country. Like the little meeting I went to the same meeting with the same group in Pennsylvania, and we did that in May, and we went on motorcycles.
She has her own
trip, huh?
Does she have her own motorcycle rides with you?
She rides all motorcycles.
Those are heavy.
So, yeah, but you try not to drop it.
I know.
I don't know if I could pick one up.
Oh my gosh, I've got a Vespa that's only 250 pounds, and yeah. I mean, you've got a Harley. What do you ride?
Yeah, we have Harleys.
Yeah.
And all my kids ride motorcycles.
They're heavy. Too. Yeah, I know. Yeah. So, how do you define health? Like, what do you like to see? I know you're into weights, and I need to do more weights. I see as I age that more weights would help my metabolism and my physique. What do you define
as health?
Lifting
weights is the only thing that works.
Is that it?
That's the way I look at it. Mm-hmm. Okay, I mean, there's a lot of other stuff out there, and I look at that as you could do that, but you got to lift weights.
Yeah.
You have to lift weights.
I can see what you're talking about. Like yoga and all that is wonderful.
It's great.
But the weights keep you slimmer, and I think your bones in better shape.
No question about it. Had I not have good bones, I'd have probably lost my leg or never walk again. But because of good bones, you can be repaired.
Right.
And we may all need to be repaired someday.
At some point.
Yeah.
Especially if you're active like you are.
Hey, whatever.
I know.
You know, you can fall. Very easy to fall.
Mm-hmm. So you've got, we were talking before this tape began, there's memberships and members, but you have a high number of memberships. Is that growing over time? Has that been consistent? And you say about 9,000 memberships, which includes families.
Yeah.
That's not just individuals. That's a high percentage of our local population.
It is, and I'm proud of that. Mm. But I think the big problem with memberships and members is we're up and down tremendously. And a lot of times, the summertime, we're higher on members.
Mm-hmm.
And
people in the buildings.
Not necessarily memberships. But in the last couple of years, things have shown some improvement.
Mm-hmm.
Lafayette's still in a little trouble, and I'm in the same trouble there. And, but I think lately it's been much better. And, you know, man, I can't go in any other business. I know nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 82 years old. I'm not going to change jobs unless my kids fire me. Hopefully they don't. Yeah.
There's a couple of more things I want to get in. When you spoke to Upper Lafayette, you talked about how you got the nickname Red, which I know is now your name. Is that correct?
Yeah. I changed it.
From Lloyd to Red.
Well, we were buying a piece of property, and the guy came out, they said, sign your name. So I signed Red everywhere, and he had put my real name on it. He says, you know what, it'd be a hell of a lot easier if you change your name and I leave everything like it is.
Right.
He didn't tell me it would take about 5 or 6 years to do everything. You got to change your passport, you got Social Security.
Right.
He forgot about that part, you know.
But you are Red Lorail,
yeah,
so that makes sense.
I am. Yeah. Somewhere along the line, that's my name.
And you got that as a young boy? You got that nickname?
I don't remember being called anything else unless my mom was mad at me.
You had bright red hair.
And she'd call me T. Lloyd.
And I want to know more about when you knew. You talked about the visioning, a vision board, or putting up pictures of what you want. When did you realize that your dreams, if you focus, that they would come true? I know that's been very successful for you to date. Would you talk about that?
Well, I think when I won the Miss America, I said, you know, this stuff might work.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you don't really know if what you try is going to really work ever. You take a gamble at everything in life. But then I realized that maybe I'll do this all the time. And I started doing it all the time. Like if I need to borrow money, I used to have to go to the bank to get money crawling on my hands and knees. But then all of a sudden I got to the point where I could borrow money. And that was much later in life. But when I went there, and then I put a little something on my board, I need this much money, I wanted to buy this piece of property and put a date on it, and so far I've never failed.
And so
now maybe my goals are not high enough, but if you know it, that works. That worked for me.
Right.
So if you put your goals low, they're easy to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
But winning the Mr. America was a totally impossibility for a kid my age. Not my age, but I mean a kid to think about winning that. I was skin and bones. I wrestled my first year in high school in a 112-pound class. I mean, so I wasn't any super athlete of any type, other than I did fairly well in wrestling. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that story because I think for some of us, we just don't realize what we're capable of. And the focus that you've had has allowed your dreams to be realized. and with a little visioning and probably a lot of hard work.
Well, I'm not highly intelligent, so I have to work hard. And, if you're really intelligent, maybe you could get by without working hard. I've never figured that out yet, so I'm not real sharp. But I like to go to work, and I put in a lot of time at Reds. You know, I go to work, I'm there before 9 o'clock, normally 8 o'clock. And then I stay till 1, 1:30, and this is my break time right now.
Yeah, thank you for taking time with us.
So I look forward to my little break time, but then I'm back at work about 3:30 or so, and a lot of times I'll go back and forth on a motorcycle, things like that. So I have fun all day, some kind of way.
Right.
And I do like to have fun. Everybody does.
Yeah.
But the big thing in my life is Reds.
Well, for anyone that's listening to this that is not living in Lafayette or just moved here, I want to encourage you to check out Reds. I don't even know how many tennis courts are. I know there's a few indoors. There are a lot of outdoor courts. He's still got racquetball. We have so many exercise classes where you can build up your weight strength. You've got yoga, Pilates, Zumba, whatever, things I've never even thought about trying. And it's there's something to do every day of the week that can enrich a life. And I'm really proud to have you here. And
thank you.
Yeah. And I want to turn this over. Jason Sikora is our sound engineer. And I see Jason's been writing notes. Jason moved here a few years ago from California and may not have had the opportunity to explore Reds fully.
I moved here in 2010. And I think the first three things I heard of were Dino's, Ground Patty, and Red's Gym. So it truly is an institution here in Lafayette, and your story is fascinating. Have you ever considered, with your rules and just your story in general, writing a book, a memoir?
Not really. I don't plan to ever write a book. Okay. Several people have come to me, and they're going to write a book on me. One guy interviewed me for a long time, about 2-3 months. He called me up, interviewed me. He said, you know what, I can't write a book. He said, your life's too damn boring. That's what he said. He said, you know, you haven't done anything really exciting, you know.
I said, I don't know. I think your gym is pretty exciting. It's a phenomenal facility.
To me, it is, you see. Yeah. But to him, the gym wasn't part of life. But to me, it is. And it's the most exciting thing in my life. I mean, it means a tremendous... My family's first, of course. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to say that, and I really believe that. But the gym is so... It's my life. It's me.
Yeah.
Okay, without the gym, I'm not here. Winning the Mr. America was an awesome thing in my life. But actually, the gym is more important than that. Mm-hmm. And I could have the gym without winning that. The gym is my life.
Yeah.
That's me.
Yeah. I want to talk about technology just for a second as it relates to health. How much does technology impact the quality of a workout? Or do these machines even matter? Is it really just about having, like, being active and working the muscles?
It's a hard question to answer, because the answer is it doesn't make any difference. Mm-hmm. Whether you use machines, whether you use technology, no technology. My comment is the more educated you are and the more toys you have, the less you're going to do. You're kind of relying on those things. You know? And the more modern thing in all this is nutrition. Nutrition has improved tremendously. Bodybuilders, which I am, were probably the first people looking at nutrition. I mean, even athletes didn't do that back then. But now, almost everybody's looking seriously at nutrition. And I realize there's all kind of other stuff out there, steroids, and all that works. But, you know, it's not the way to do things in the long haul. We're talking more like when you get to an age like I'm 82, I mentioned that a few minutes ago. I don't want you to think I'm slipping and I forgot I mentioned that.
No.
I'm more important now. I want to make sure I can try to get in an airplane, climb on a bicycle, ride a motorcycle. That's more important to me right now. But I still want to look halfway decent, too. Mm-hmm. And weight training is the way, no question about it. But you still have to do cardio. I spend a lot of time on a bicycle, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was interesting because I was going to ask about nutrition and then the drugs as well. Obviously, the drugs work for a while, it seems, and then it's not sustainable.
Well, I don't know how long you can do that stuff and still be alive.
Without damaging your heart.
A lot of people have died doing things like that, but they would give up. They would give up their life, sort of, to win a damn contest, which I don't understand. Mm-hmm. Although years ago I may have done that too.
Mm.
It's easy for me to say I wouldn't do it because it didn't exist.
Yep.
If it had existed, I would probably have done it.
Interesting.
If I could afford it.
Yeah. Well, there's
which
that
I
too.
Probably couldn't. But this has all changed. When I won the Mr. America, it was an athletic event with the weightlifting. And I was with the National Weightlifting Championships. Everybody was amateur. There was no money involved. Mm-hmm. Zero, okay? That's changed now. I mean, a lot of these guys who compete in the Olympics and all, they're millionaires.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they're already making money. They're doing all that stuff. But back then, it wasn't like that at all. That did not exist.
Gotcha.
And I'm glad it didn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What were you lifting when you won Mr. America?
Nothing to do with the Mr. America contest. To win the Mr. America contest back then, you had to qualify in a certain way. Well, qualifications could be you were a state champion in a sport or something. And I won the state championship in wrestling every year. I never lost for the 4 years in high school, but I also wrestled in the Navy. And then you could qualify with weightlifting. Back then, weightlifting meets were press, clean and jerk, and snatch. They didn't have what they have today called powerlifting or CrossFit stuff. That didn't exist.
I see.
So they required three times your body weight in weightlifting, and I could do that relatively easy.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I competed in weightlifting too. But my big thing was to win the Mr. America.
Right.
Interesting. You'd mentioned weightlifters looked a lot at nutrition. Is this in relation to the things like the protein powders and drinks and energy drinks, or really just having a more balanced diet and making sure you're eating every day properly?
Well, the first powders and protein stuff didn't come out until probably the late 40s. And they were terrible. I mean, soybeans and all, they were horrible foods. They really weren't. I don't know if they were even good for you. But, you know, they were the first to look at nutrition because, number one, you wanted to have as much muscle as you could have with as little as fat as possible. So right before a contest, you would go on a little special diet, which in my case would have been to eliminate fruit, to eat. I still ate. Back then, it was meat, cheese, eggs, chicken, and fish. And that still hasn't changed in anybody's diet, really. But I would eliminate all the stuff like bread, and like I said, fruit, because that was a little more fattening and high caloric, so I'd eliminate that before a contest.
Interesting.
But as far as any drastic change, no.
Okay.
But now, some bodybuilders do tremendous changes. Some of them lose 30, 40 pounds before a contest. People didn't do that back then.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it wasn't easy to do back then. Now it is easier.
Interesting. But is that a healthy way to approach working out?
No, none of it's healthy. The probably the least healthiest person in a whole auditorium is the winner of the contest, okay, at that time. But that doesn't mean doing everything you did, eating properly. But this is just right before the contest. If you ate properly and you worked out properly, then you're a healthy person, very healthy. But right before the contest, remember, the night of the contest, you're probably the most unhealthiest person.
That's interesting.
Interesting, yeah.
If you win.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So my final question is, you know, we're in a technology company building right now, and a lot of my coworkers, we're all computer nerds, sit behind the computer a lot, and each one of our doctors has told us to work out more. And we're seeing it as time goes on, more and more people are starting workouts. What's your first advice or your piece of advice if you're first getting into working out?
Gotta lift weights.
Lift weights? Okay.
You're not gonna hear anything else from me. People at the girls that work for me and all them guys, and they say, well, what would Red say? You gotta lift weights.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. It is the most important thing. Weights have been around since the Romans.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it wasn't a revolving barbells, it wasn't fancy machines, but they lifted weights to be strong and win wars and battles or whatever. because it is the way to get strong and healthy. And basically, that's what you're looking for, is to try to stay as strong and healthy as you can. Now, I don't care what you do. As you get older, you're going to lose some of that. Mm-hmm. Not some, a lot. It just happens, you know, yeah. No matter what you fight. And then you're going to end up with some accidents. You're going to go downhill a little bit. You come back. I think it's called the ups and downs of life. Well, it's the same thing about fitness. It's going to go up and down. And even athletes get injured and mm-hmm. all, and they have to come back, you know. I mean, we see that all the time, football players.
Yeah.
I mean, every time they play a game, it's like getting hit by a bunch of little trucks. And then Monday they got to start over and lift weights and all that again. And build back up for the next week to have the trucks hit them again.
Yep.
And nowadays, it's not little it's trucks, true. It's big trucks.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
So things have changed all the way around.
Interesting. Right. So anybody looking to work out that's in Lafayette, first step is go to Reds and lift weights.
Lift weights.
Oh, no, we're not the only place.
I know,
I don't
want to
think we're the only place. There's so many nice little gyms in town.
There really are.
It depends what you're looking for, you know. I'm not going to put anybody's gym down, because if I was opening up again, I'd have a little gym. Mm-hmm. But because I'd like
little
to
Reds.
Run it by myself.
Yeah.
Like
oh, that's a good idea, Little Reds.
No, I don't want to. I'm not going to do it now, but that's what I'd like. Yeah.
Gotcha.
I can run by myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, thank you for being here, and Dan, thank you
all
for
right,
asking questions. Yeah.
Thank you, Jason. I do want to say, Red, again, I had always worked out, but when I almost turned 40, my dad was a double amputee. He lost both his legs because of diabetes. And I went from working out to try to look good to working out because I had the ability to.
Well, you still look good.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It's an up and down thing with me, but thank you for saying that.
That's everybody.
I know. Yeah. I know. Sometimes we're better than others. But the knowledge that by working out, I was really living my life, it made all the difference in the world to me, you know. And you've allowed us in town to have a high-end facility where we can work out. And I just want to thank you for all you've done. And I also want to thank you for giving me advice when we started. I was reading your intro. And for people that are listening, it might be interesting to hear. He told me to turn it over and just start talking and let him tell the story. And that's probably some of the best advice I've gotten, is just let the guest tell their story. So thank you for being you.
Well, that's what you'll get.
I know.
When you're reading somebody else's story, it doesn't work too well.
And I learned that maybe the internet isn't totally accurate. That was, you know.
You notice that? There's nothing totally accurate
I know.
Anywhere.
I know. So thanks to everybody who's been listening to this episode of Discover Lafayette. It's been a real honor to have Red Larrail here. And Jason Secor, I want to thank you for taping us from Raider Solutions. And this podcast and all of our podcasts can be found on discoverlafayette.net. Please subscribe by going to iTunes or anywhere that you get your podcasts. We'd love to have you downloading this episode and sharing with your friends. On behalf of Discover Lafayette, this is June Swift.